Welcome back to Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. It's me, Richie Molino, and Sean Keane. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. Ready to get into some heroin or butt sex or Lord of the Rings.
Why choose when you can have everything? Today, we are joined by our esteemed guest, Terry Gamble.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Terry?
I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. Because most of the dummies we have on the show don't know goddamn shit about Lord of the Rings.
Well, Lies, I feel like a super fan, but I'm really like a movie fan as I think about it, because I haven't read the books as much as I should have. That's but fine. I have gone to the Shire in New Zealand. I have gone on the Hobbiton tour. I have like...
I'm super jelly of this.
It was amazing. I went a couple years ago. I was in Australia working on a show, and I was like, I have some time off. I'm going to hop over... making my dreams come true. So for my birthday, took a tour of the freaking Shire, and like it was amazing. Was by myself, and like the tour guide made sure that the whole freaking tour sang happy birthday to me underneath where Bilbo Baggins has his big ass birthday.
Oh, like, wow.
Underneath the big ass tree.
And that big tree is a real thing.
It's a real thing. That's why Peter Jackson chose the space. Like he like was flying over there doing like helicopter tours of like farms on the countryside of New Zealand. They were like, what would you like to do, Peter Jackson? He was like, there. That tree, that's the spot. And like, that's my Peter Jackson. It's not very good. But
did they leave you alone to take a nap in Bilbo's house?
Oh my God. I wish, but no, but they do like, you do get to like have like, you know, like little like grogs and stuff like at the end of the tour, basically. And like after you've like sat on like little carts and you've seen like little hammers and
God
like little
it.
Gardens. And they literally keep the gardens. They actually feed like, they grow food there live still. And so they
the proud feet or the
no, like the people, anyway, sorry, the people who work there,
the brandy bucks,
yeah, no, anyway,
the tooks,
who's just the regular ass people who runs, work there now,
are they growing pipe weed?
Okay, so I cannot confirm or deny that there's like definitely some pipes out there, but anyway, it was great, it's pretty amazing, and yeah, so I've been to Hobbiton, so I feel really excited about this. Whole situation.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Terry is, Terry and I work together actually. Terry not only runs a ton of different podcasts and is all over the map, does acting classes, went to Harvard, runs Horror Movie Survivor Guide podcast, link in the show notes, runs VIP Karaoke LA.
Yeah.
Go to terrygamble.com to,
you can find me there on the internet. So I'm all over.
How long have you been a KJ?
I've been a KJ almost 3 years.
That's a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, but I've been doing karaoke since like, I'm just turned 40, yay, this last year. And I've been doing karaoke since I was probably like 7 years
old. Early. Whoa, little baby.
Because my babysitter as a child was Korean. And so she had a laser disc. So like before it was like freaking main ass stream, like I legit was doing like Korean karaoke like as a child.
That's incredible.
And then my best friend's mom used to take me to like karaoke bars when I was in high school. So before I was old enough to like get into real bars, like we would go to like old people places and retirement communities where karaoke was at before it was in like young hip places.
Yeah.
And like go karaoke, which is great. And I was just on Let's Make a Deal last month with Wayne Brady. And so you can find that February 11th. Check it out.
It'll be in the show notes.
Terry lives in Los Angeles.
I super do. And I got to sing with Wayne Brady and talk about
this is the most Los Angeles career I've ever heard of.
If you had one karaoke song you had to just do for your life, your show stopping.
Fuck, that's tough.
That's the worst. You know what? Honestly, people ask me that all the time. And as a karaoke jockey, I try not to have one song because all my regulars, I love you guys if you're listening, all have one song or two or three that they do every week.
I don't play that game either.
So Richie and I usually, that's the thing. We'll go through the book and be like, okay, what's the new thing? So I try to find a new thing. So it's usually a song of the moment that I'm probably singing for like a quarter that I like have to work out my system.
Uh-huh.
So like this last year, it's been like, This Is America. I feel like I'm done with it now, but like it kills the people.
Uh-huh.
It gets the party amped. Cause usually if people are doing a lot of like slow numbers, I like to go in there and like amp up the party.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Like old school, like when I first started doing karaoke back in the day, it was probably like Proud Mary. You know what I mean? There's something like that.
I saw someone get off stage and then Terry said,
what did I say? Oh. No. I'm so bad.
Somebody jumped off stage and then Terry said,
Oh no, she can't even get to it.
This guy jumped off stage, and then Terry said, "Roy Orbison burned down his house and killed his whole family for money."
Lies. Anyways.
I should have picked a Roy Orbison song for this so I could hear more about that. We'll get around to it. No. Next time you're on the show, it's Roy Orbison.
No, it's so bad. Anyway.
He's actually crying over the insurance settlement.
Aw, crying. Oh,
yeah.
So bad.
I haven't looked into that, but I believe you. Because, I mean, that's part of why I thought you'd be... I mean, a karaoke KJ is a great guest just because you're exposed to so much music over this long period of time. You're hearing these songs. You're going to start thinking about, like, what?
I'm obsessed
you're
with music.
You're seeing the lyrics.
Yeah. And we do a lot of special nights sometimes, too. I mean, we just did one that was a sponsorship for an organization that supports the Me Too movement. And it was like, oh. We did songs that we were like reclaiming, like songs with like terrible lyrics that are like misogynist as hell. And like, because sometimes you get up there and you don't think about it. And then mm-hmm. someone's up there doing Brown Sugar. And I'm like, you're doing a song about slave rape. Can you please get off the stage? Like, it's really uncomfortable sometimes. And so, but a lot of stuff we don't think about it because we just hear the tunes and we're immersed in it. We don't think about the lyrics. Like I think about that Chris Rock stand up where he's like, fuck her in the eye or whatever. He's got that whole thing where like the girls in the club are like, don't talk to me like that. And then that song comes on. It's like, fuck her in the eye, fuck her in the eye. And you're like, oh, she's like, yeah, that's my song. And you're like, right. Oh shit. Like
I've experienced this too. Yeah. Like, you know, like a white hippie girl being like, ain't no fun if the homies get corrupt, give a fuck about a bitch, I'd always be and like they're like, yeah. Yeah.
And they're in it because we don't think about it, and we're so immersed in this culture of, you know, as we said, like the patriarchy is literally everywhere. I feel like this like staunch feminist on the show all of a sudden. I am, but I'm not at the same time, but because I'm in it too.
We're
like we're all
too,
in it,
you know.
And let's talk about these though. I love it.
Yeah, our first song of the week is Here We Go, Guys. With a Little Help from My Friends from the Beatles, written by Lennon and McCartney.
Yes.
1967 from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
This is one of my favorite albums of all time. I'm really excited we're doing this. I love late Beatles versus early us, like, you know, whatever, Help Beatles. I love this. Even though Help was one of my first songs.
Yeah, it's like it's a little sophisticated.
Vulnerable.
It's about like John Lennon being very open about the stigma of mental illness.
He says, I need somebody, not just anybody. In this song, they say, do you need anybody? Could it be anybody? This song, this is a Ringo song. Every Beatles album, as far as I know, I believe has a Ringo song. Yep. And they write a song for Ringo on purpose. And I feel like it's really awesome that they did this the whole time. And it really... what I like about Ringo songs is that it cements the sense of humor that the Beatles brought to pop music and rock music. All of them are pretty funny guys. And the fact that they always wrote a Ringo song and it was always kind of a candy ass song. It's not like they have him singing Helter Skelter or anything like that. They give him like a light song.
They give him a light song that he, like I was reading like in the MTV thing too, and some of the treatise like we did for studying for this, he only has like a 5-note range or something. They were like only give him like basically 5 notes that they're working with. So they're like, we've got like the structure. We know it's got to be fun.
On an octopus's garden, yep. With a little help from my friends. It's like yeah. He's
got
that's why I'd like to hear him do Helter Skelter, just like, I'll get to the bottom, I'll go back to the top.
It's not a bad Ringo.
Yeah.
Ringo is the only Beatle I've met. He's wonderful.
You met Ringo?
I've worked at a boutique for years and years in West Hollywood. It's a little stationery shop and like housewares and whatnot. And Ringo came in with his wife, Barbara Starkey, who is a former Bond girl. He is lovely. I got his autograph. I didn't ask for it. Made my coworker do it. Mm-hmm. He signed for me and my homie, Mike. What up, Mike, if you're out there listening.
Did he write Peace and Love?
He wrote To the Beautiful Lady, Love Ringo. That was for me.
Oh.
And he's lovely, but the craziest part was he was humming in the other side of like the store. I mean, me and my friend are like freaking out, of course, because it's... And
what was he humming?
Just humming along to whatever was like on the, in like that we were playing in the store, and it's freaking, you hear that sound. Yeah. It's very Ringo, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like, I think it's a weird, wonderful thing for him because he still goes out and he tours. He just played here in LA at the Greek recently too. I think it's like a super challenge for him to like continue to sing because he's always out there putting himself out there.
Yeah.
But it's not something that he found joy in, I think, back in the day.
No, I don't think he's
terrified of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, apparently he was very nervous about the final note of this song, even.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the Beatles recorded this all just kind of standing in a circle around the mic for moral support, which is very sweet.
It's before Instagram, where they had that shot of like Ringo singing this with all the Beatles with their arms wrapped around him, encouraging him to sing this.
In case you're not in a place to read them right now, here are the lyrics. What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel by the end of the day? Are you sad because you're on your own? No, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? I need somebody to love. Could it be anybody? I want somebody to love. Would you believe in a love at first sight? Yes, I'm certain that it happens all the time. What do you see when you turn out the light? I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? I just need someone to love. Could it be anybody? I want somebody to love. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. With a little help from my friends.
Any of you guys have any ideas about this? Because I will say that this is one of the most balanced songs I've ever heard in terms of what it's about. It's all, I can see all three very clearly.
Yeah. Can I, I'll give you my, I agree with you that there's legit interpretations.
All three.
The one I went with was, I think it's about Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, okay, well, just in general, hobbits are constantly singing. They sing about trolls. They sing about bats. They sing about histories. Sam sings about saying goodbye to the stars. Mm-hmm. They sing songs about bars. But
they sing as they're walking. They sing as they're drinking. They sing literally everywhere. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay. So first of all, they say goodbye with a little help from my friends. Mm-hmm. Bywater, very important place in Hobbiton, where the final battle of the War of the Ring happens. That's where Saruman and Grima die. Get high with a little help from my friends. Now, there's... First, I thought, okay, well, pipeweed is the biggest industry of the Shire. Gandalf is smoking pipeweed. Saruman is smoking pipeweed. But then I thought, actually, what is the defining thing that the Fellowship of the Ring is doing? They are constantly climbing mountains.
They're getting higher all the time.
Yeah, it's the Misty Mountains. They're climbing the stairs to get through Shelob's lair. Like,
and they're also... tiny.
They're tiny.
They're tiny little dudes, right? Uh-huh. And so they're trying to get, like, they're always trying to get, like, to a different vantage point.
They didn't bring any pipeweed on the journey. I mean, at least it's not documented, right?
I think they probably did.
I feel like they did. And they may have skipped that in the freaking movies or whatever, but I feel like they would have traveled with that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's referenced that they were smoking... Wow. You know, it's sort of like that thing. It's like you go for a job interview or something. And you're like, I'm not going to bring any weed.
Yeah. I think Gandalf might be smoking outside when they try to find the secret door in Moria when he's trying lots of spells.
Mm-hmm.
But I might be wrong about that. Yeah.
I want to go back and watch and look.
And then going to try with a little help from my friends. Like, that's the ultimate mission of the Fellowship, is no one really thinks it's going to work. But... Also,
yeah,
the
it's a fellowship
being, because of each other.
Yeah, they're being carried up hills. So I would even say that Sam Gamgee is the Frodo of the Fellowship. among the hobbits, I think he's clearly like the
what? You're saying what?
Sam Gamgee is the Frodo. Sorry, Sam Gamgee is the Ringo of the Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay,
sorry.
You got me real confused.
Sorry about that.
I was like, this is a whole other theory.
Yeah, sorry. Sam is the Ringo. Sam is the Ringo.
Sam is the Ringo.
Yeah. All right, start over on that one.
Sorry. So Sam Gamgee is the Ringo of the Fellowship of the Rings. There's four hobbits. And I would even say you can argue that pretty much any Ringo Beatles song could be a Sam Gamgee song.
100%.
Octopus's Garden. Sam is a gardener.
He's a gardener, and
he fought Shelob. She's got eight arms too.
Oh my
god! Eight arms? What?
Octopus's Garden. And then Good Night. He sings a song that is basically Good Night.
Good Night song. Yeah, he sings like a lullaby with all his friends.
And I Will Not Say the Day Is Done. What Goes On?
Oh my god!
That's about his jealousy of Gollum when he says, "The other day I saw you as I walked along the road. When I saw him with you, I could feel my future fold." And then Yellow Submarine. So
what's does that
well get here's involved? I would say this one's a little more oblique, but at the end of the story, when his wife dies, Sam sails to the Grey Havens, follows Frodo. But in the movie
in a yellow submarine.
Yeah.
You don't have to prove that all Ringo songs are about Lord of the Rings.
That's a pretty strong argument, though, for Sam as the Ringo.
Well, the mayor in Yellow Submarine is the guy who dispatches the Yellow Submarine to get the Beatles. Sam Gamgee, the mayor of Hobbiton for 49 years. But the other thing I would say, the main thing, is that Pippin's bath song, you can sing it to the tune of "With a Little Help from My Friends." And I think the Beatles
are you
going to
do another musical number?
Yeah, is that all right?
Yeah, again, just do it off the cuff, and I'll throw.
Okay, great.
I'll throw a track on that.
Okay, right. Sing, hey, for the bath at close of day that washes the weary mud away. A loon is he that will not sing. Oh, water hot is a noble thing. Oh, sweet is the sound of fallen rain. And the brook that leaps from hill to plain. But better than rain or rippling streams is water hot that smokes and steams. So it's very close. I feel like the Beatles were influenced by the bath song. I don't think they owe Tolkien any royalties or anything, but it makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
With a little help from my friends, it's the Fellowship of the Rings.
Yes.
And at the end of the first book, it is only friendship, only commitment to the other, to your friends, that keeps the story going at all. Everyone could give up. They could pull a Denethor and just be like, well, let's just kill ourselves because the world's going to turn really bad. Instead, It's not their commitment to the end goal that drives the end of the first book and the end of the first movie. Mm-hmm. It's commitment to friends. It's the friendship that keeps the world alive. So that's not a stretch at all.
No, that was like as soon as you hear it, even the title, the first inclination, I was like, oh, this is clearly Lord of the Rings. But I was like, I'm going to have to keep listening and keep going. You know what I mean? But yes, like, it's all set up for you.
So do you have a bunch more stuff to throw at us, or do you want to?
Let me back. I'll back away with after that take. I have some thoughts on the other two.
Yeah,
but I want to let other people.
Do you want to come in with one of the other two, or should we just open it up to discuss the other two?
I'm open to discussing. I feel like I just have some things about the different versions of it, because the Beatles one I think is clearly Lord of the Rings. Like that's like what I have hard, but I also can make an argument literally for all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are we going to get to the answer, though? You know what I mean?
But like, I think the Cocker is clearly butt sex.
Butt sex? I thought that would be heroin.
I think it's clearly butt sex.
So the Cocker version? The Joe Cocker?
His name is Cocker, so I'm going to start right there.
Here we are referring to the Joe Cocker live at Woodstock recording of this song, which he switched into 6/8 from 4/4. A brilliant move. At least Paul McCartney was blown away by it. Loved it.
Completely.
With good reason. It's a great version. And then it was the theme to the Wonder Years. Mm-hmm. It's cemented Joe Cocker as a vocal giant.
Yeah, and this is the version that, I mean, this version got put into the Grammy Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. the Joe Cocker version, yeah. just because it's like transcendent. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, is it the best Beatles cover of all time? Might be. I don't know.
Ooh.
I mean, that's sorry, I'm opening a big
that's
door
like a
there.
Whole other
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I would fight for it. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty freaking wonderful.
It's very good. So you're saying that the Joe Cocker version means butt sex?
It's what? Definitely butt sex.
Well, I also think, you know, this is from what we've learned recently mm-hmm. about Paul and John's relationship, where there was a lot of mutual masturbation that was happening.
They were real close.
They were boys together, you know?
And I think if you read the song as I get by, B-I, with a little help from my friends, suddenly you're looking at this from a very different perspective.
Right, and also, like, if you're on the road a long time, or if you're playing, like, some, like, brothel in Germany for a million hours together,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? You got some time.
There's
you
know, a lot of...
what do you see when you turn off the lights?
Right.
I can't tell you, but I know it's mine.
Yeah.
Well, Paul... you know, going back to the humor thing, Paul... Yeah. Talked about how the ambiguity in the song, he actually said, maybe he's playing with his willy under the covers. What do you see when you turn off the lights? Paul actually said that he did that on purpose. Sort of, here's what they're doing. They're constantly hazing Ringo.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly, I mean, he's the littlest Beatle, but they're constantly belittling the littlest Beatle in a friendly way. And if you look at like photos of the Beatles on tour, like hanging out and stuff like that, it's always just them like in their underwear in a hotel room throwing pillows at each other. It's not like them with a bunch of like local slags just like banging the groupies and stuff like that.
They don't have photos of that, but.
Well, they're all... Yeah,
I'm sure that was happening, too.
I don't know.
Yes.
But the legend of them songwriting is John and Paul sitting across from mm-hmm. each other on beds that almost touch. And Paul has even talked about how, oh, it was really convenient because I'm left-handed and he's right-handed. And I'm like, well, are we still talking about songwriting here?
I love that you brought that up. And yes, I mean, if you're looking for a different experience, that's what you got to do. And I feel like, also, I feel like butt sex is very... English. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking about it? Like...
Yeah, well, they basically were in a boarding school in Germany for a year, right?
Yeah. I just am thinking of like old time shit. Like I did a year abroad in England, yes. So...
And you had a ton of butt sex?
Well, not a ton, but you know. And so I feel like...
Terry.
Oh my God, I'm blushing right now. This is hilarious. I just feel like I'm just thinking about like old timey stories of like royalty and like not wanting to get pregnant and whatever you need to do. Like butt sex was always like the thing you would do. That was a very common like old royal shit. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Though, like to like handle your situation.
If you're doing some incest and fucking your brother.
Yeah, your cousin or whatever. Like
just do it in the butt.
Just do it in the butt so you don't make a like weird baby yeah. like with like a weird small hand or something.
But he will be king.
But he will be king.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, I mean, but if you're on the road and you're like, whatever, like in Germany, like you said, for hours on end together, and you need an outlet, if you need anybody, it could be anybody. And you could
get
make
a little hand
anybody,
from your friends.
You could get a little hand and it could be uh-huh. anybody in your mind. So, I mean, if you need an outlet, they're there for you. And I feel yeah. like if you're going to really be there for each other.
And it feels like it's not even necessarily gay or straight. It's just like, look, you're getting off.
Well, it's like in prison, it's just not gay. You know?
It's not. It's just we need a release. You find a friend.
Well, and
you get by.
The other thing I would say about this in terms
right,
of Sergeant
get by,
Pepper,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I just my brain is it doesn't do puns very well. Uh-huh. I mean, like, I don't like puns, but as I'm sure you've noticed, but I just don't think of them. I'll look at something that has a ton of puns sort of in it, and I won't even see them.
Oh, I live that pun life. I think things are punny. Well, there's a great song on, I just, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend just wrapped the TV show, and there's a really, like, bi icon on the show, and he has a song called Getting By, is the name of the song. And so, I mean, that's, like, the bi anthem. It's amazing. And it harkens back to kind of that same idea of, like, we're just getting by.
Right. So, should we address the heroin aspect?
Absolutely.
A little bit and just see if anything's there. Because, I mean,
John definitely did a lot of heroin.
Yeah, but that was later.
A little later than this, yeah.
So
all the drugs at some point, yeah.
Yeah, these guys are just doing mushrooms and smoking weed and stuff right now and doing acid.
And acid. Yeah. Oh, lots of acid.
Yeah. But yeah, they're smoking lots of weed, basically, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's. I mean, in their biographies at this point, I don't think it's there. I mean, it does say get high with a little help from my friends. Heroines like tends to, at least.
And but you guys, they do have a blues and jazz like background, right? Like that's kind of like their thing is like legit like R&B music and stuff like that, like rhythm and blues.
And this
that's a huge heroin culture. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Though, as far as like the music that was their derivative from is, I mean, if we're looking at old jazz and blues guys, right. That's like the drug of choice. I feel like they probably tried it at some point before this.
They've been to Southeast Asia at this point.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So they've had some sort of opium situation, you know, like I'm sure.
Yeah, but then it's the question is then do you go on and write a whole song about it and have it be like.
I mean, they deny that Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is about freaking.
Yeah, shut up,
LSD
guys.
Either. So, I mean, I feel like this is definitely one of their strongest, like, ode to drugs. This whole album, you can make an argument probably for every song being about drugs in some capacity.
When Paul McCartney starts talking about drugs, he's always kind of doing this backpedaling thing where he's like, yeah, and, you know, some of the boys were nipping off a little bit of the reefer.
They don't want to condone it. I get it. They have, I mean, literally, if you're like rock royalty, you have a position to hold. And so I'm sure they don't want kids of, you know, of this day and age to like go forth and do everything that they did.
Yeah. A lot of these lyrics.
I think they probably at this point have tried literally all the things.
Yeah. Paul McCartney, most of these are Paul's lyrics. And you could feel it as much of a hardcore rock and roller as he was. And he wrote Helter Skelter and a lot of like pretty rough songs. Why don't we do it in the road? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You could just feel from the beginning him arcing toward like, I'm going to be a nice grandpa someday. Uh-huh. You know,
when I'm 64, man, he was banking on it.
He's so wholesome. So even no matter what they were doing, he's like, well, if it is about heroin, I'm going to bury it as deep as I can. Because someday he wants to be on the BBC. He wants to be a knight.
Yeah. He always had wings inside him. Well, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I feel like even in this era, when John Lennon's married and Paul's single, he's like the ultimate proto London fuckboy who's like, oh, I just sing about things are getting better. And then it's like, well, you can't be mad at Paul. He's so cute.
Yeah, he's a fucking snake, man. He's like, I'm a really nice man.
Yeah.
No, you're not, man. You're a fucking.
So I think the other heroin stuff, Out of Key, that's a kilo of heroin. Yeah. Love at First Sight. Obviously, heroin's the most addictive drug there is. And
what do you do when my love is away? It is like called the deer thing and everything too, right? Like,
yeah, heroin can often be seen as a substitution for true love or, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, what do you need when you really, really need something?
Yeah.
I think the heroin line is, like I said, all three of these are pretty rich veins to mine. Let's go back to butt sex, though, real fast. Because I do think that there's a bunch of stuff in here. Especially...
Sorry.
Hey, junk in the trunk. So this, what especially gets me on this is the first time they say, do you need anybody?
Mm-hmm.
I need somebody to love. The second time is, do you need somebody to love? I just want somebody to love. And then they include the word just.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's what's available.
Does that include guys?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the implication there. And that's, I feel like that's some of the strongest evidence here.
Well, it's not romantic, I think. Like, there's a very important right. part where it's they
pragmatic,
say,
you're on tour.
You know, do you believe in love at first sight? And he doesn't say yes. He says, well, I'm certain it happens all the time, but that's not an answer
that's
to someone
who's...
That's
not what this is about.
That's not someone who's experiencing love at first sight. That's right. someone saying, like, well, I've heard about that, but that's not really my jam.
No, I think it is, though, because it's the speaker at that moment, because there are multiple speakers in the song. Mm-hmm. It's the speaker who's not Ringo, who's not voiced by Ringo, saying, do you believe in love at first sight, which is what that speaker is experiencing looking at Ringo. And saying, hey, honey, do you believe in love at first sight? Because I think I have just experienced it.
Yeah.
And are you alone tonight?
Yeah, and Ringo's definitely not saying yes in response, though.
Nah, it's not a
yes. Yeah, he demurs. He says, yeah, I'm sure that happens all the time. And the other speaker is going like, well, anyway, I mean, I'm parked right out front. I mean, we could just disappear. You know.
Make it happen right now. Yeah.
Yeah, Ringo, I mean, he's the babe in the woods.
And he was hesitant to do this song, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he had to have the Beatles made a circle.
Like, they had to get around him, circle up.
The sweetheart among sweethearts here.
Yeah, and also, I think what was interesting, too, is that they had to change one of the lines that he wouldn't sing. They wanted him to say, like, would you stand up and walk out on me? Would you stand up and throw tomatoes at me?
Which is funny.
Which is comical too, but he was also like, the ramifications of going on tour and having like a shit ton of tomatoes come towards him all the time would be terrible.
Right. Cause they're getting hit by jelly beans for some other reason.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They told somebody somewhere that they liked jelly beans. So then they're touring and then people are throwing jelly beans at them.
It's
like
panties and jelly beans.
Yeah, I mean, it's there in that sense, I suppose.
This one is really solidly in all three camps. You're correct. I mean, honestly, we are vacillating rapidly in between.
I know. Let's go back to Lord of the Rings, because I do think that I hadn't thought of anchoring it with Sam. And Sam, among all of the... There's Sam and there's Aragorn. Those are the two linchpins that keep the fellowship together. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody does a great job, but...
Dude, Sam's still my favorite. And yes, I feel it. Like, as Ringo is my favorite Beatle. Weird. But I feel like there's something about his earnestness that, like, gets me. And that's what gets me in this song, too. It's just, like, he's saying these things, and they're so simple. But it's, like, what we all want. Like, I just want someone to love, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sam is just happy to, like, love his friends and, like, be there for them.
Yeah.
It's the same purity of heart that you get from Ringo and through this vocal as well that like pulls you in.
Yeah. When he talks about love at first sight, Sam actually has experienced that with Rosie Cotton, but he doesn't believe in himself and doesn't believe it's going to be reciprocated until he's way back in the Shire. I think that's definitely like post for him. You know?
Yeah. For Sam, love is a verb. You know what I mean? Like he's like, he doesn't even understand the scale of everything he's involved with, but like the one thing he does know is that Frodo is not going to be alone.
He knows how to love fiercely until the end, for sure.
And you know, when they say, what do you see when you turn out the light? That's basically when Sam puts on the ring and he has a vision of himself as Samwise the Great, and he turns the whole world, including Mordor, into a garden. So that's what he sees when he turns out the light. Doesn't tell anyone because that's his. But, and then it goes immediately to, no, I could buy a little help from my friends. I don't need this ring.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is the wonder and the magic of the hobbits.
Yeah. And Ringo is all about peace, too. I feel like he was one of these, like, I mean, they all
peace and love.
But
peace
and love. He's still, like, that is like his thing when he goes on tour to this day. Like,
yeah, he says peace and love at the end.
Literally all the time and everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
He's always been spreading the joy of love and peace on this planet continuously. That has been his mission to keep uniting people.
And more so, you know, like Harrison is like this very like esoteric version of peace and love. You know, God bless him.
He was the meditator, though.
Yeah, and John has this like sort of fractured piece where it's like full of all this like trouble and violence and abuse and everything like that. I mean, abuse to him. I'm not talking about. And you know, Paul, like I said, he's very this and that. Like he can do any. Paul can do fucking anything. Anyway, but Ringo is. It's just a. It's a. He walks the walk. It's a
pure
it's a,
of heart. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle for him. He's definitely chosen that. Like the way he supports people, causes. He's a rallier. You know, like trying to get people together constantly. So I think Sam was the glue. Like how Ringo, I think, you know, you hold the beat.
Yeah.
It's the heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I mean, all three of these work, as we said, incredibly well. I would say that heroin is the least. Applicable. Butt sex works pretty damn well. I think the Samwise Gamgee thing really works.
And, you know, you kind of get the same implications, not sure, by curiosity within the Beatles and within the group of Hobbits, too. Oh, so
for sure. Yeah.
So I kind of feel like these two interpretations bleed into each other a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this. I mean, I almost regret like accusing you a couple of episodes ago, Sean, of saying that something was about butt sex and Lord of the Rings. And I will say now that there's nothing barring a song from being about several things. You know, point being, like, as we know, all songs are about heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings. But many cases, I will say, a song can have it can address several of those topics. It doesn't have to fundamentally be. I don't want to be too Boolean about this or too, black and white about this, you know.
Let's get in it.
Number two is a doozy again.
It's a great song.
These are. Challenging songs.
But also could be literally about every single one of your guys' topics. This one, solidly, Feel Good Incorporated, Gorillaz, 2005. Literally, all the things.
All the things. Our second song for the afternoon is Feel Good Inc.
Such a good fucking song.
This is from the Gorillaz, from their album Demon Days, 2005, written by Jamie Hewlett, Brian Burton, Damon Albarn, and Jave Jolicoeur. And here are the lyrics. Feel good. Shake it, shake it, shake it, feel good. Shake it, shake it, shake it, feel good. That goes on for a minute. City's breaking down on a camel's back. They just have to go because they don't know whack. So all you fill the streets, it's appealing to see. You won't get out the county because you're damned as free. You got a new horizon, it's ephemeral style, a melancholy town where we never smile. And all I want to hear is the message beep. My dreams, they've got to kiss me because I don't get sleep, no. Windmill, windmill for the land, turn forever hand in hand. Take it all in on your stride, it is ticking, falling down. Love forever, love is free, let's turn forever, you and me. Windmill, windmill for the land. Is everybody in? Laughing gas these hazmats, fast cats, line them up like ass cracks. Play these ponies at the track, it's my chocolate attack. Shit, I'm stepping in the heart of this here. Care Bear reppin' in the heart of this here or harder this year. Watch me as I gravitate, ha 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 ha. Yo, we going to ghost town, this Motown, with yo sound, you in the blink. Gonna bite the dust, can't fight with us, with yo sound, you kill the ink. So don't stop, get it, until you cheddar headed. Yo, watch the way I navigate, ha 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 ha. Shake it, shake it, shake it, feel good. Again, a bunch of times. Windmill, windmill for the land, turn forever hand in hand. Take it all in on your stride. It is ticking, falling down. Love forever. Love is free. Let's turn forever, you and me. Windmill, windmill for the land. Is everybody in? Don't stop. Get it, get it. We are your captains in it. Steady, watch me navigate. Ha, 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 ha. Don't stop. Get it, get it. Watch how your captain's in it.
or look how your captain's in it. Steady, watch me navigate. Ha 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 ha.
This is a genre-bending, incredibly groundbreaking song. It mashed together the frontman of Blur and De La Soul and who is it? Danger Mouse?
Yeah.
Producing.
It's iconic. It is iconic.
And the video is equally iconic. This is a smashing together of genres. It was in the air at the time. It kind of represented a sea change in terms of like what pop music could and would be going forward. And I think
it's the foundation of what we're freaking listening to still right now, honestly. It was so well done.
Yeah, and I think that actually goes into the what I would call the traditional or given or standard interpretation of the song, which is about paradigm shifting. This song talks about, mentions Detroit and Motown several times, and I think is in doing that is referencing sort of a standard or old school model of how to build songs. And they're saying that that was the old way, here's the new way. I'm going to do something really weird here right off the bat, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah.
I guess what I'd say is I know what Damon Albarn's models were when he went about this endeavor. When he and Danger Mouse went into this experimentation, I think that he was referring back to The Specials, which was another genre-breaking, multiracial band. And in specific, he's going back to the song Ghost Town. If you play Ghost Town and then you play this song, very surprising how similar they are. They both start and end with police sirens and urban unrest. They both talk about abandoning something that's old and decaying for something new. And De La Soul mentions Ghost Town by name. So I think that Damon Albarn was using Ghost Town by The Specials as a reference point for everybody involved. He was saying, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going for. We're making a new version of this. We're smashing out into a, instead of, you know, incorporating ska and all this other stuff, we're letting go of the traditional Motown-based model of songwriting, going into more of a fractured-up hip-hop slash electronic sampling model of creating songs. So I'm just going to include this for my own reference, just because I like to record things through a mic rather than...
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this.
Oh, it's
God. It's,
great video too.
This star is coming like a ghost town. All the clubs are being closed down. This place is coming like a ghost town.
Honestly, Richie, I feel like we're done. Like, you just, like,
right,
distilled
but that's,
this.
But that's neither heroin, butt sex, nor Lord of the
True.
Rings.
Okay. But that's revolutionary, and I didn't even, like, that's a...
I'm fairly convinced that Damon Albarn, like, looked at this song.
No, he literally, I mean, that's, like, the same, like, just, like, feeling, like, the underlying effervescence of the song.
But, yeah, it is like, all very multiracial collections of people, because even the first album... You know, there's no Danger Mouse, but there's Kid Koala, there's Dan the Automator.
There's Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yeah.
I believe performing as Del the Ghost.
Yeah, it's sort of, I think it's in a way like sort of Damon Albarn having come out of Blur going like, what next?
Well, also just breaking down boundaries when they're like, we're just going to be cartoons. Do you know what I mean, though? And like, and see how people just take this information, cutting down another wall of like the things that separate us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, though? Like within music, like if you're specifically Motown, you're specifically, you know, hip hop, you're specifically this, people try to put you in genres. I feel like we're kind of going through another like awakening or people realizing that again of how segregated music can be, like with this whole like the Lil Nas X situation happening right now. You guys know about this?
I don't.
Old Town Billy Road. Ray, yeah. Billy Ray Cyrus. So there's this like awesome kid.
I've seen memes, but I haven't taken the time to educate
myself. Oh my
God,
it's kind of an amazing rabbit hole I've been down this whole last week as well, like as I'm listening to this too and looking at as you're crossing genres and what does that mean if you're doing a song that's not in a genre that you're supposed to be in, you know, or you know, that is set for you. And so this kid made this song basically on TikTok, which is this whole new, hey, young folks, app. but it's like the next Vine kind of thing, you know, where it's like, it's short, like short form videos and stuff like that. He made this awesome song that everybody really, it's like literally the number one song. It became so hot that it was like the number one song on Billboard as far as like country. But it's like this little kid named Lil Nas X. He's this adorable, like black, like young youth of America. And so, they were like, sorry, that's actually not a country song. Billboard's like, we're taking away, like, because it doesn't have enough country elements. I'm doing that in quotes, air quotes. And so they literally pulled it off the chart, even though it's the number one song. Uh-huh. So Billy Ray Cyrus jumps on and, like, is like, hey, they team up. They re-released it this last week.
Well, good on you, Billy, but yeah, this is...
No, but it's amazing, though, because they're like, now you can't call it not country. They literally got one of the top-selling country artists of all time to do a remix with this kid. Do you know what I mean, though? And be like, and what? Like, now what do you want to call it? Exactly. Right. It's literally the song is about riding horses and, like, riding on a tractor. It is, like, the most country. Yeah. But it's trap meets country. And he's like, it's both. And he didn't want to be defined by a genre either. So I feel like this is one of those beautiful times when this song came out of, like, we don't want you to even have to judge us by how we look. You're going to look at these freaking cartoons. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, we're coming back. They'd already had a big hit in 01, you know, coming back again. This was, they wanted to smash it even harder and just were like, we're doing another thing and breaking down boundaries again. And I think he was really cognizant of it, like you said, Richie, of like exactly what he was doing.
He's also a big sweetie, Damon Albarn. You know, he didn't want to even be a rock star anymore. He's just like, I want to make a lot of cool stuff, but I don't need the, I'm going to put this two houses away from me. Mm-hmm. It's this band. And then as we look at the music video, I would remind us all that this is a fiction of a fiction. This is a band, a fictional band shooting a music video that is an additional fiction on top, layered on top of the band. So in this music video, we're in an urban hellscape. We rise up through the clouds. We're in this tower where apparently there's this everlasting nightclub where everybody's, I don't know, I'd say, looks like an opium den. Everybody's asleep.
All right, now we're getting on topic.
Yeah, now we're getting on topic.
It's full on heroin, yeah.
The only living boy in the opium den is the lead singer of the band who's named...
2D.
2D. He's the only one awake. Everybody else is asleep. The bassist is just getting his nipples fondled by a bunch of models and couldn't really care less. The singer launches into this lament about the situation. And then... two things happen. One, De La Soul comes on the screen and he is completely re-energized by that and it wakes up the bassist. They launch into this thing. They're re-energized by the infusion of new music and new cultural influences. And second, a floating island with a windmill on it floats by with the guitarist slash, I think, synth member of the band, who's a young Asian lady.
She's Noodle.
Noodle. He seems to long to be outside of this so-called paradise that he's in.
So is Britain the floating island in the middle of, like, you know, it's floating out there.
Interesting.
There's all these other influences that have come in and out of this place. It's a really weird, wacky place. We just talked about England before in our last song too. It's a strange place that, like, reveres and, like, really loves R&B. It was really strange when I lived there because I was kind of a big deal. Like, I lived in this really small little place.
I'm sure you were a big deal.
I was a huge deal. Like, yeah. As the black American, you know, like,
yeah, you're American, you're black, you can sing.
Yeah, it was like really an, it was strange anomaly. I sang at like coffee houses. All of a sudden I had weird gigs all over. It was a really weird, wonderful time. But it was like one of those blessings and curses of like being like revered but not respected, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. as far as like, yeah, we think you're great. We love your music. We don't really care for anything else about you. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, I think that's like a very common thing. And like, I mean, the reason that we have like American rock and roll as it is because the British invasion came over and was like, it's cool. All these white people from back in the day say it's cool. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, I'm black, for people who didn't figure that out by now and didn't look me up already. I have to say that because sometimes people don't know.
Right. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. I'm from San Diego. Sorry. I'm
French Irish. You're from San Diego.
But like, I think it was really strange being, I think the cultural mix of music that happened in Britain and stuff is very like I said, they mined the hell out of like R&B and blues and stuff like that,
right.
too.
The British Empire, it still exists in music. But that's not, I don't blame Damon Albarn for
no,
that.
No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, as a black person, I could see why he would even not even want to, like, put his face on a thing. And
exactly.
Like, and, like, be separate from that thing because it is such a weird scape of, like, you know, people enjoying it and whatnot, too. So he wants to get off this island in some way, and maybe it's not as beautiful as you think. People are asleep, and they're not awake to, like, what is around them and all this amazing music that can come from literally anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
So does that throw it into...
Which one is it?
Yeah.
I think
chewed on it culturally for a minute.
Sorry, let me move on to theories.
Uh-huh. This release, you know.
Yeah. I think this one, I went butt sex. I thought there's just enough... Because I do agree that it's oblique enough that it opens itself up for a couple comparisons, but there's just a couple parts where it's just, I'm going to say specifically the hip hop breakdown. He immediately talks about lining them up like ass cracks.
Yep.
And then says, play these ponies at the track. It's my chocolate attack. Like, this Yum. Is very, very butt
heavy.
We're getting
in there.
Talks about a Care Bear rapping in harder this year. He doesn't specify. I think he's talking about Baby Tugs Bear. And that very clearly.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Baby Tugs Bear. That's a prominent Care Bear.
A really cute bear.
And when he talks about.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Baby Tugs Bear?
Baby Tugs Bear. Yes.
And that sounds specifically like butt sex.
It came up third when I just Googled Care Bear names. But here's the thing. I was very confused by the chorus because windmill, windmill for the land, turn forever in your hand.
This is the hardest part.
Now, that's the hardest part. I thought Lord of the Rings, but Richie brought up last time I talked to him prepping for this. The prominent mill in Lord of the Rings is a water mill for sure.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is. It's on the Brandywine. It's
there
on
are
the Shire.
It's a water
mill. I've been by the water mill.
So,
yes.
So I was
there
like,
are well, no windmills.
Yeah.
In the middle
so
of
I
Earth.
Thought, what's the windmill going to be? Like, occasionally it's like a Don Quixote thing. Is he tilting at windmills?
No,
I'm
windmills
like, no.
definitely all about getting in that ass.
Well, I had to go
you
to Urban Dictionary.
Spin.
I disagree, but I'll let you continue.
Let me give you the Urban Dictionary definition of the windmill. That's when you are fucking a girl and you spin her around on your cock so she's in a different position, or if you're good enough, you can land her in the same position. Then this definition, unprompted by me, adds the line, also possible with anal sex, straight and gay, which is very inclusive from 100%. Urban Dictionary.
100%.
They also mm-hmm. mention the Dutch windmill, which is when a man jerks off another man using the second man's own arm instead of his own.
That sounds
classic
cool.
reach around.
Yep.
I mean, classic reach around. So that was
so the like, point. Hold on. You just go limp and then somebody else uses your own hand?
Your own hand on your own dick.
Kinky.
Yeah.
And I think specifically it's anal sex with some kind of reach around. And I'm not trying to be heteronormative about this. Could be straight, could be gay, but it's a hand reaching around because they just have to go because they don't know whack. That doesn't even make any sense except in the sense of whacking off. Like, I've never heard somebody say, oh, you don't know whack about that. It's like, no,
it's like some Liverpudlian lingo I don't know about. Sneaking in,
yeah. I feel like a lot of what they're talking about is this kind of stale, like, crumbling society, and that is this mm-hmm. very narrow view of sexuality.
Yeah. Everything else is falling away. I mean, this is like, I feel like it was like another sexual revolution, like I don't know, post like AIDS and then safe sex or whatever, and we're like, what are we doing now? Like mm-hmm. this right. is what we're getting into now.
And so yeah, in this windmill section, love mm-hmm. forever, love is free, mm-hmm. or love is freely sometimes, mm-hmm. let's turn forever, you and me, sort of like the new bonds of multi-sexuality.
Yeah.
And then is everybody in? Like yeah. that is
let's very get into it.
A very inclusive idea of sexuality, I think.
Which is what's going on inside of this Feel Good Inc. tower orgy that's happening in the music
yeah.
video.
Yeah.
It's sort I mean, of like, whatever, man. Like, go crazy.
Yeah. So that was my take. I feel like it lends itself the most to that one. And just that it's saying feel good so much.
Right.
I agree. Because I feel like people forget about like the orgasm of butt sex. And that like, mm-hmm. that's like the one that a lot of people miss. It's like, you will feel good. That is like another option for you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hear what you guys are saying here. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I will say that I don't agree with the windmill thing. I think it's clear in the song that the windmill represents the wheel of time.
I mean, they talk about that in some of their interviews, but...
Do you think the wheel of time has to do with butt sex, Lord of the Rings, or heroin?
Heroin.
Oh.
Oh.
I think this song, I'm shocked that you both are coming at so hard with butt sex. I think it's great, but I just think, you know, like... Some songs you come in here and it's like kind of a little obvious, uh-huh. you know, like you're like, all right, we're all going to agree in this direction. I'm surprised to hear all this butt sex stuff. I love it again, but right off the bat. Okay. We're not in a good place in this song. We're in a, well, and I will say, I usually think of music videos as not inadmissible, but secondary.
Yes.
But this one's pretty hardcore.
But this, because a lot of music videos, especially early music videos, it's sort of an afterthought, and it's often not even the artist's vision. But in this case, we're dealing with a music video that is, these are artists writing the song, recording the song, making the music video, putting everything out, like the full spectrum artist here. Mm-hmm. So this music video, I give it extra credence in terms of interpreting the song. And if you just go into the song, you're in an urban hellscape. You go into this escape from the urban hellscape, which uh-huh. is itself a hellscape. And it's high above. It's sort of like, oh, you have a penthouse. You know, you have a penthouse on top of the world, and it still sucks. Why? Because you're on what's called the hedonic treadmill of like, you know, you're rich. Now you need... fame. Now you're famous and rich. Now you need.
Now you have to feed that.
Now you need mm-hmm. drugs. Now you need better drugs. Now you need more fame.
It's never enough.
It's never enough. And what we're looking at the beginning of the video is the result of that. You're mm-hmm. in an inescapable hell. And 2D and the bassist never escape. They're stuck. 2D and Murdoch are stuck in this. Supposed to be wonderful place, but they hate it. It's hell. Mm-hmm. It's too much. Uh-huh. Too much. And what's it called? Feel Good Ink. Come on, guys. This is heroin. Like, it's apparently this corporation that's feeding these people a drug that got them to this place. And outside, city breaking down on a camel's back. You won't get out the county because you're damned and you're free.
you know, like you're free to do drugs and kill yourself, basically, and you're not going to go anywhere. My main argument for the windmill representing a clock, I don't think it's that feasible to say that it's anything else other than a clock, because here's the line: windmill, windmill, for the land, turn forever hand in hand, take it all in your stride, it's ticking, falling down. So I think in the standard interpretation, that means like the old model of writing music is dying, so accept it, it's dead. I would say that in the sort of reaching for euphoria or reaching for utopia, you can't get there. There is no such thing, and certainly heroin is not going to get you there, which is...
You'll always be chasing it.
Yeah, you're chasing the dragon is the classic term. And that's everybody in Feel Good Inc.'s tower, very exclusive party tower that they are in, have been chasing the dragon. And now they're just lying around dying slowly.
And that's interesting too, because it's, like you said, this is an ultimate statement on music as well too, like consciously. And looking at the music industry and what's happened to some of like the luminaries of it, obviously, you know, throughout time, they've been taken down by this.
Yes.
And so to separate themselves, and if the fictional band is going, can go through this, do you know what I mean? If you can put this fictional band through the actual like traumas of what the music industry can do to them, I think this would be a statement on that. And that could be very, I mean, I support you on this.
Yeah.
The video does look like they're...
I mean, I think the video
stinks of heroin. I don't know what heroin stinks like. No,
definitely.
But
I just think the text itself, you've got to ignore a lot of ass crack and chocolate attack.
Right, but that's
stick with heroin.
I'm with Sean on that too.
See, I hear what you're saying, but that's why this, I would say, and in almost any interpretation you come at it from, the De La Soul aspect of it represents a break. It represents a fracturing of what everything else in the song represents. It's an alternative. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whether it's butt sex, heroin, or Lord of the Rings, like there's the situation which seems pretty dire, and then there's the arrival of De La Soul, and those lyrics and that section represents a way out, an alternative, mm-hmm. some sort of escape.
Maybe a way in, though.
Oh, maybe a way in. That's great, Sean.
I mean, just even like the look of Murdoch and 2D seem pretty fucked up. I don't know if they're doing it currently, but they look like
they've gone through it.
2D though could stand for two dicks. That's all I'm saying in that reach around interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read some of the other stuff, so they're like, it's about time and the marching of time. But I was like, yeah, but windmill's also very sexual.
Yeah.
Really? I've never looked at a windmill and be like,
No, what he read from Urban Dictionary, that was like my first. I was like, oh, and windmill's like when you spin somebody around on your dick or whatever. Like, it's a
whole...
That sounds
dangerous.
It's fine. You
crack your dick that way. I don't know.
I mean, don't be crazy.
Right. How fast is this person spinning?
I don't think it's as fast as a traditional windmill, and it's not going to... Anyway, stop.
Yeah, I think you need like get somebody in a dryer or something like that. You make it so the dryer can operate with the door open.
Oh my God, now we're like in like the like artist prepares or whatever. What's her name? The lady? The Abramovitz. She did like a dryer. Kate Blanchett like recreated it on IFC on documentary now. Anyway,
okay,
check it out.
Yeah, I just don't know how you spin somebody around fast enough to make it interesting. But you know, wow, guys, this has been quite a journey.
If you're going on the video, like Sean said, it's heroin.
Yeah, I think so too.
But if you're just listening and checking out those lyrics and listening to the song, butt sex has got a very good case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think with this song with Lord of the Rings, once you have a song that says windmill this many times, and then you realize that there are no windmills in Middle Earth, like you're kind of fucked. So yeah. I mean, unless the windmill's some kind of metaphor for something, but there are mills in Middle Earth, so it's
lots of mills.
It can't add up really. I really appreciate your butt sex thing. And yeah, heroin's clearly there in the video. As far as with a little help from my friends, really strong. If you anchor this with Sam, who is the...
He's the Ringo.
He's the Ringo of Middle Earth. It all lines up. It's just pretty juicy. It could even bring a tear to your eye if you listen to it in that context and then you remember how great Sam is and how none of it probably could have happened without him. Great stuff, you guys. Thank you so much, Terry, for coming on the show.
Oh my God, what a freaking pleasure.
You're the best.
Oh, you guys are great. So much fun. Yay.
Yeah. And we're going to work together tonight.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Let's go karaoke.
I'm going to bartend and Terry is going to run karaoke and we're going to fucking...
We're going to rage.
Hey, do you want to do a duet of Islands in the Stream tonight?
Oh my God, can we please?
Yeah.
And that's definitely butt sex, I think. Let's explore.
It's on my list. We'd love to have you back. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's more Kenny than Dolly. But I don't.
Oh
think
yeah,
Dolly's...
but she's like, okay, yeah, sail exactly. away with me. Let's yeah. do it. She's like, I'll give it a try.
Let's go to this other place.
Yeah.
Another place.
And we'll rely on each other.
Uh-huh. From one corner to another. All right, we'll deal with it when we get to it. It's on my list. We've already done Kiss on my list.
Yes.
And Sean, thank you as always. This is
it was great. Thank you.
It's a great, great pleasure always to spend time with you and hack the shit apart with you. If you have disagreements or hyper agreements with our cases and you have additional evidence or you have a need to tell us why we're idiots, please email us at hbslotr@gmail.com. We have a phone number listed in the show notes that you can call in and leave us a voice message with your case or your insults. And we will throw you on the air in a future episode. Theme music by Wet and Reckless. Thank you very much for joining us on Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. And we will see you again soon.